Kevin and Dennis. One of those. There's a theme that runs through here. That last song, I believe, is looking at Isaiah 6. It talks about Jesus making a sinner holy. And Isaiah kneeling on his knees going, woe is me. And God shows up and brings the coal to his lips. Woe is me. And God shows up. And that's what we want to look at. The faithfulness of God. That God shows up in the midst of all of life. In the hard stuff. And in the good stuff. God shows up. And that's why we can stick to it and show up in other people's lives and relationships. Let's pray. Jesus, we are here to meet you, not just to know about you, but to know you. So would you work through my words right now, just as you've worked through the words that Jim and the band has led us in, how Peter has led us, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would be able to experience you, that we could discover who you are, Jesus, and follow you. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Midge, another welcome here. I just want to let you know that when I saw Midge, I went over and just introduced myself to her again. Obviously, she remembered me. And I said, you are able to come up here at any time during the sermon. And she is 91 years old and just a faithful servant of Jesus. And she goes, you know, not today. That's your job. And she goes, not that I don't want to. I could next time, but I'm on holidays. So we should schedule her in the next time. That would be wonderful. And you know that at any time, if I'm very serious about any time during the sermon, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you're like, you just come up and grab this mic. And you can say whatever you want, okay? You have an open mic here. That is wonderful. It's so good to have you guys, have you here and in the life of our church this week. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, this week. The scriptures that we're going to be looking at today is Galatians. A reminder, we read this over this scripture the last 8 weeks or 9 weeks that each fruit is in there. But let's read it over. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And as I look at that, I've always been trying to, okay, I want to find another text to kind of go back to this idea of faithfulness and this word faithfulness. And when we looked at goodness last week, and I'm sure as Peter and Paul have been preaching on these other words, we're looking and trying to understand what is this? What is Paul saying to us? But also what in the wider scheme of things, what is this word faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness? What does it have to do with my life here today? Well, as I was scrolling through the Psalms this last week or two, as I was preparing for this, I was dumbfounded by, and I didn't even talk to Peter about this, how when you do a search on faithfulness, in the Psalms at least, faithfulness is always linked to, anyone? Loving kindness. Unfailing love. Faithfulness is always linked to love. In the Psalms. It's Israel's worship book. And what they are doing is they're linking, they're saying how good and faithful God is and his love. And so I want us to understand that, because that is very key to what we want to, when we want to understand faithfulness, it's always linked to love. So Psalm 89, you could read that whole psalm. I think it repeats it 9 or 10 times, the word faithfulness. But let's look at the first three. Psalm 89, 1-3. I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of his faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, I've made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. And then it goes on to talk about God's faithfulness. The faithfulness of God allows us to be faithful followers of Jesus. So this isn't an attribute that we have to do good so that somehow we can live under the law, that somehow we're doing the right things that God then is now approving of what we're doing, right? If we're linking it back to Galatians, it's called grace wins. But faithfulness of who God is allows us to be faithful people, faithful followers of Jesus. It's always back to who God is and what he's doing and what he's actually wanting to stir up into in our life. Faith is the root and faithfulness is its fruit. Our faith in God produces the fruit of faithfulness. So it's something that's actually growing in us that God himself has planted in us by the Holy Spirit in our faith in Jesus. So that's what's happening here. And there's a tension of us trying to struggle in how do I become faithful? How do I do be a faithful person and be a Jesus follower and do it out of love? In these verses in the Psalms, faithfulness is always linked to God's unfailing love, like I said. God is faithful, not out of duty. He's not faithful out of guilt. He's not faithful out of have-tos, but out of love. We need to be reminded of that. His unfailing love for people is out of his love of people that he's actually created by his own hands and his own imagination. This is where his faithfulness comes from, his love for us. This isn't on screen, but Bill Hybels says, he's a pastor down in the States and one of the biggest churches. Not that we're trying to be huge here, but you can get some principles from what he's saying here. And he says, faithfulness is a promise kept over a long period of time. A promise kept over a long period of time. It's over the long period of time that God really shows his stuff. When we hear of long marriages, why do we get emotional? Why? Because most of us that are married understand how beautifully hard that is. I'm coining that phrase. How beautifully hard that is. We know that in the midst of relationship, there's conflict, there's self-seeking interest, there's pride, there is you fill in the blanks. But when over a long period of time, a couple grows in love for the other person by forgiving, by serving, by trying not to keep a record of wrongs, by looking not only to their own interests, but the interests of others, it is in that long period of time that we say, wow, that is amazing. Because we know of the relationship that it's taking to get there. Wow, that's actually a miracle. Peter, I know Diane's down here. I'm going to ask Peter a couple questions. When one preacher's up here, gives another preacher a mic, it gets the angst happening in the room. But don't worry about this. So, Peter, how long have you and Diane been married?
We had our 49th anniversary, July 29th.
Woo! July 29th, 49. That's unbelievable. That is really good. And that's like, wow, what a miracle. Wow. It's not a miracle because you're married to Diane, right?
Exactly.
So, well, that is the miracle that you are married to Diane. No,
yeah.
We can do these things.
Yeah.
And so that is one thing of faithfulness that we're like, whew, but I'm not here. This isn't a marriage sermon. And so, but what Peter shared something at staff meeting that really struck me this last week about your get together with your family. Sure. Can you explain the picture of God's faithfulness to people here?
Last week we were together, my siblings. I'm the fifth child in a family of 12. Five boys, seven girls. My older sister passed away. So there's 11 of us left. All 11 of us siblings. Nine of us have spouses. Two of my sisters are widowed. We all were there, and our children. My family was, mine is two grandkids, two out of the seven, all my kids were there, and so we had a clan of 80 people there in Canmore, Alberta, at the Best Western, right in Canmore, Best Western Plus. They did a great job for us. So last Sunday morning, we met in worship, and we had awesome worship. I mean, some of the next generation strumming guitars, and I had this picture. I said, if my parents would have been able to see this at the beginning of their wedding, at the beginning of their marriage, they would have enjoyed life more and fretted less. You know, there were so many hardships raising 11 children with limited finances, and some of the kids went wayward at certain stages of their lives, and marriages went sideways, and mom and dad kind of were worried. But here we are, all of us meeting together in worship. All of 11 children were trying to follow Jesus, and most of us involved in ministry in some way. And the next generation mainly are committed to following Jesus. So it was an awesome picture. So anyway, I applied that to myself. Okay, so when I'm tempted to fret, just remember that picture. 40 years down the road or 50 years down, I'll look back and say, wow, why did I worry so much? Because God is sovereign. He's in control. The test of faithfulness, Kevin, I want to just make, does not come when everything is going good. The test of faithfulness comes in hardship, when it's difficult, when you're waiting. That's the test of choosing faith. Faithfulness is really like being faith-filled. Mm-hmm. What else did you want to ask me?
That's it. Thank you. Goodbye. Give him a hand. I love it.
All right.
Time's up. How true is that? And what a great picture. Now, some of our pictures don't look like that of our families. And I'm not trying to get us to say everyone needs to have a picture like that. But we know that Peter and Diana have walked through some hard stuff, losing a son. We know that he mentioned his own family, divorced in the midst of it. So there's unfaithfulness in the midst of faithfulness. But there's this picture of something that's happening that was a dream that God was planting in the hearts and the minds of his parents, and they didn't even know it. And then they got to be a part of what was going to be happening in their own lives, but also lives of others. And the beautiful thing here is that this is why we need to hear stories from our older folks. This is why in the months to come, I'll be tapping on your shoulders and saying, we need to hear you and less of me. And we need to hear of this. And we need to listen about how God's been faithful over the years. Because there's times that we want to give up. We want to let go and we don't want to stick with it. But God sticks to us. God sticks with it to us in love. That's the faithfulness. I'm going to do a bit of a broad scope now of a few things. Exodus 16, we have a story of a people of Israel who God has just freed from slavery. Through the leadership of Moses and Aaron, they're freed from slavery, and now they're wandering in the wilderness, and they're hungry, and they're complaining, and they want to go back to Egypt, which basically is, we want to go back to the chains and slavery for what? For food. And they're complaining, and Moses is like, ah! Might be like some of us parents. And what does God do for them? He shows up. He brings quail. I'm like going, hey, can you bring the butcher and the barbecue as well? But they knew what to do with it. He brought quail. Brought this funny flakes of flour that they made into bread. And they called it manna. God's faithfulness shows up when life is messy. And we're fearful and we're scared of the future. God shows up. And God remains faithful by providing for them in these very harsh situations, even when they're complaining. And then just a few chapters later, we have Moses going up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And he kind of goes up and down, and then there's a long time he's gone, 40 days and 40 nights. And then what happens? But before the craziness ensues, God's intention for Moses is this. In early verses of chapter 19, God says this: "You have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." He's speaking to the children of Israel. "I brought you to myself. Now if you obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." And then we have in chapter 32, just after that, Israelites are impatient. "Where's Moses? What's going on?" And a mob mentality starts to spread, and they don't listen to leaders, and they're doing their own thing, and they're like, "Hey, let's gather all the gold together." And you know what? They had a lot of gold, because they had some booty from Egypt. And they melted it down, they got their craftsmen together, and they created a calf, a golden calf. And they did what the Egyptians were doing, worshiping idols. Instead of a God that's there with them in the midst of the mess, and yet it doesn't look exactly what they want it to, but they gave that up to then worship idols. They turned their backs on the living God, the God who was very active in their life, one that was very loving and had brought them out of slavery and into a new reality of walking with God by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the day. But they would have none of it. They broke their end of the covenant. And we're continued called to be obedient, to be faithful to what God calls us to do. But what we see in here, it's not necessarily a bunch of morality, being a good moral people, because what happens when that goes wrong? Then God just leaves us? Says, "Forget it, covenant's over." No, the covenant is there. It's much like a marriage covenant saying, "We're in it. Death do us part. This is it. Here we go." And yet, in this covenant with God, God is always the one that's faithful. All the time. And we can be faithful by continuing and be obedient and do the thing that God has called us to do. But inevitably, we are not going to be. And what does God do? He doesn't cut loose. He says, "I'm going to show up again and again and again and again and again and again and again until these people get it." God continues to find ways of showing up to enter the story of humanity, to save, to give hope, to restore broken things. Story after story of this Bible, in the Bible that we have, is God's people turning their backs on God, but God remains faithful. It's God remaining faithful. A little quick story of faithfulness. Last night when we came home, and I had a little ping on my phone. So my phone goes off and got a little email from Upper Room. It's a devotional that you can have on your phone. And I get it. I look through it. And I'm like, the devotional is, "Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, okay, neat. Read a little story of some guy around the world and thought, "Oh, that's cute, great, God's faithful." I was like, okay. This morning, after I prepped and ready to go, and I'm basically hit click and my sermon's ready to go, Sharon comes down. She goes, "Hey, you wouldn't believe what my devotional was saying today." I'm like, "What? What's your devotional? What's it?" And she has this great book. She can talk to you more about it. Seeking God's face, praying with the Bible through the year. Her and some friends are doing this. And guess what comes up? This is not even joking. I'll tell you, before I read this, I'm saying to myself, I said, "Sharon, I got the sermon prep, but I don't have a compelling story." Right? That was like, I don't know when it was, but I'm like, "I don't have a compelling story of application." I'm like, okay, so then Upper Room, "Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, great. Wonderful. Sharon says, "Can I tell you what I read this morning?" She's reading through. This is Exodus 19:3-8. It's exactly what I read for you. and there's the scripture, and then this is the prayer that it walks through. Gathering God, we tend to think that we make church happen. So ground us again in the reality that it's you who carries yourself, us to yourself. We are a living part of this community of grace, not because of our own feeble efforts, but because of your love. Protect your treasured possessions from those who would make it legalistic body, and preserve it in the gospel of grace. Amen. Talking about God's faithfulness and his love to us and him coming at us again and again and again and calling us his treasured possession. I have one more story of faithfulness that I'm going to tell a little bit later. But God is now saying, I get this, I'm like, oh, Sharon, this is exactly what I prepped last night. Whoa. So now, would we think that God might be speaking to all of us, not just me, here at this church? And faithfulness is linked to love, and this is why the worship book of the Israelites is full of phrases, like in Psalm 36:5. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is vast beyond the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And it goes on and on and on and on again, because the Israelites actually were experiencing that. And they're singing about it. And yet, Israelites were very unfaithful in different ways. And so are we. Some of us are going, I don't even like this topic because I've been unfaithful. I've been unfaithful in my marriage relationship at some point. I've been unfaithful with my walk to Jesus. I've been unfaithful. And I'm not here to make this a guilt thing. Not at all. I'm here to say, in the midst of our unfaithfulness, God is faithful. And he produces fruit in us to be a faithful people, so that we aren't doing these things out of guilt, but we receive the forgiveness that God's given us, and he moves on. And I'm going to say more about that in a second. 2 Timothy 2:13, write this down. 2 Timothy 2:13, God is faithful even when we're not faithful. He will remain faithful because he cannot deny himself. This is ontologically who he is. This is who God is. He is faithful. He's loving and he's faithful. This is who God is. And he has to be faithful because he's got to be true to himself. This is this is amazing. And God ultimately shows his faithfulness in the person of Jesus. When God becomes flesh and moves in the neighborhood, and in the person of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, every promise of God is fulfilled and is going to be fulfilled. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love and faithfulness. It's Jesus Christ, carte blanche, nothing else and no one else. He shows us just how much God is going to stick to it in relationship, not just to a chosen group now, but as we look at Galatians, it's not just for the Israelites, it's for who? The Gentiles, for all of creation, every single person. This is now the good news of God's faithfulness, that it's not just found in one group of people, but in the person of Jesus, it's manifest and given given generously to all. And we go, whoa, thank you, God. Jesus reveals God's faithfulness to us all by being faithful, even when we are faithless. Jesus reveals the unfailing, unsurpassed love of God by being faithful until the end and dying on the cross for all humanity and creation. This is the faithfulness of God. This is the promise kept over a long period of time. This was what fidelity looks like, the person of Jesus, even though he wasn't even married. So those of you that aren't married, you can be faithful. Those that are, you can be faithful. And it looks like this, Philippians 2. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude of Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God something to be clinging to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name that above all names, that Jesus Christ, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is faithfulness. And even after all of that, Jesus is walking through. And he's got a band of 12 disciples and others. And as they see what's unfolding, they're like, that's not making sense to me. The kingdom's supposed to come and take charge and make things happen. This isn't what's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to die a death, Jesus. And what happens? During that Passion Week, what happens? One by one by one by one. Disciples, except for, we think, John, although he might be using hyperbole there, John, his mom, and maybe a couple others, all desert Jesus in his worst time of need. And I want to look at the story of Peter as an example. He was the guy with the quick lips and the fast legs. He was saying things like, Jesus, I'm going to be with you to the end. If you die, I'm going to die with you. Don't worry, Jesus, I got your back. And what was recorded later during that time, Peter is denying Jesus three times. Jesus actually says, this is what's going to happen. He goes, no way. And Peter denies Jesus three times. And it's, how would some of us might feel like Peter today? We've denied Jesus. We've spoken against him publicly. And what happens with that? Guess what happens with that? God continues and remains to be faithful. Whoa. And then after he dies, then Peter, what happens? There's resurrection, but then Peter goes back to what? Goes back to doing what he always did before he met Jesus. Goes back to his father's work. Like every other Jewish boy. And he was doing his father's work. And for Peter, his dad was a fisherman, so he went back to fishing. I wonder if that was Peter's Egypt. Let me go back to something I know. Something that's easy. Something that I can just, don't have to worry about all this. Because you know what? I wasn't faithful to Jesus. And yet, Jesus then shows up on a beach with some fish. And he reinstates Peter. And he asks him questions. Do you love me? And Peter says, of course I love you. Do you love me? Of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Of course I love you. And then Jesus allows Peter to reinstate himself. And it's like Jesus saying, three times you deny me, three times I'm going to say you're faithful. And I'm faithful to you. And then he leaves him with a job to do. He's going to be the rock that the church is built on. So you can't do this faithfulness thing on our own. We cannot be faithful and loving to others on our own. We desperately need God's Spirit to birth something, to plant something in us so that it grows out of a root of faith. And that this fruit is faithfulness, but it's coming out of a root of faith in Jesus. And it's a service to God and service to others. It's not out of guilt. It's not out of have-tos. It's not out of trying to look good. Or it's not out of, but it's out of a faithfulness that is linked to love. Against this, no law. Whoa. Now we link it back to Galatians. Eugene Peterson says this, that faithfulness is the freedom to be involved in long-term loyal commitments based on invisible values and meanings rather than immediate tangible self-interest. It gives us freedom to be faithful in our relationships. Faithfulness is hard in an instant world. And we Jesus followers get to be that kingdom of priests. We are that treasured possession to shine God's faithfulness to others. It was never meant to be insular. Bringing it back to Galatians, it's always meant for the out. And Jesus' followers, this faithfulness needs to grow inside us through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That gives us joy and love to walk with people and to be faithful with them. One more quote before we close. Frodo's friends in the Fellowship of the Ring come to him in the midst of all the craziness that's happening, and they say this. You can trust us to stick with you through thick and thin, to the bitter end. But you cannot trust us to let you face trouble alone and go off without a word. We are your friends, Frodo. Anyway, there it is. You know, most of what Gandalf has told you. We know most of what Gandalf has told you. We know a good deal about the ring. We are horribly afraid, but we are coming with you. Following you like hounds. What a great picture of friendship. We want to be the kind of people that walk with people in the hard stuff of life, not just skim all the good stuff off the top. God wants to give birth to something inside of us that only comes through the Holy Spirit. He wants to plant that seed of faith in us so that we can be people of faith and faithfulness. That we can be a people that can make a promise over the long period of time with the friends and families and maybe even strangers that we meet so that you can grow into a faithful person. I believe that God is speaking to us this morning because this is a miracle. On my way to church, I turned on 550, the odd time I do that. Some of this stuff is... But I turn it on. And what's the song playing right away? I'm not even joking. The old hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Great is thy faithfulness. What does faithfulness... I leave you with a few questions. What does faithfulness look like in a faith community? What does it look like for us here at Coast Hills? What would it look like for the people in our Coast Hills community to be faithful individuals as well as a faithful community? We are doing a lot of it already. We have an opportunity to get together today. We have people faithfully sitting at a park waiting for us, waiting for, was Kevin finishing yet? Bring on the fun. And we're doing it. But what if we were to do it more intentionally? About it in relationships with each other, in a relationship with our neighbors, and our families, and our friends. Might you be able to see God's faithfulness in the midst of the hard places, in the midst of your grumbling? And might you see that God is bringing quail and manna? And might you be a person that might be able to bring quail and manna, bread, something of sustenance and hope to someone else? Might you, who maybe feel like Peter, unfaithful, a person who's cut and run, might you hear Jesus' affirming words and reinstatement? Do you love me? Waiting for you to say back to Jesus, yes, of course I do. Might you be willing to say that to Jesus today and get on with being faithful? And lastly, may we all, because of the faith that we have in the faithful God, be willing to step into relationship and the work that we do, not out of obligation, not out of the have-tos, not out of the guilt, but the joy, and out of a sense that God is work. That God is wanting us to work with Him and not just for Him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Help us in the midst of all the applications in our lives that your Spirit might be growing something and planting a seed in our life. And so we close with this prayer that many others are probably praying today. Gathering God, we tend to think that we make church happen. So ground us again in the reality that it's you who carries us to yourself. We are a living part of this community of grace, not because of our feeble efforts, but because of your love. Protect your treasured possession from those who make it legalistic body and preserve it in the gospel of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.